we can't just talk about how great we did recording at the same time.
Yeah. Well, I think if we make that our intro every time, I think it'll be great.
I'm bored already listening to it. That's terrible. No one wants to hear about how we clicked record.
Or you could.
It's behind the scenes.
Yeah. Or you integrate the name of the podcast. Just a heads up. We're gonna be talking out of our asses the entire time.
I mean, I think it's good to give them that heads up. Yeah.
Yeah. I read a lot of internet headlines. I don't read a lot of the articles. I don't back them up with any supporting evidence.
That's good.
Because that's not who I am as a person. That's not who I've decided to be.
No, you've decided that it's probably just, you get the gist of it. All of this, by the way, you can't use it.
All of
this.
Just unusable.
Useless.
Unusable. Unusable.
Terrible radio.
Title of this episode, Unusable.
Unusable.
Yeah.
So actually, let's start high with, I mean, we got to greet people.
Do we greet?
They're listening. They want to feel included, so we're going to greet them as others here, even though they're not.
Is that what you learned at podcast school?
Yeah. I get up bright and early.
Yeah. I've decided to wear a hoodie inside the house on like a 90-degree day
because
I'm an idiot.
That's
so
good.
I'm sweating my balls off.
All right.
Still. I'm gonna take it off. Let me know if you can
hear this. Do you think listeners at home needed to hear that?
I think it's important so they know, they just picture how sweaty and how dumb I actually am.
You could have just taken your shirt off and then no one would know.
Sean, I'm not taking my shirt off. Stop asking.
I'm just saying. I mean, it's, you know, I'm the only one who can see you, so you might as well.
Why did you want the camera so zoomed out? What? I don't understand.
All right, let's just start here. Okay.
And
we're gonna give it. Go. All right, this is the podcast Heads Up. Jeff, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about what we're gonna be doing on Heads Up? I'm Sean.
Yeah.
You are.
You said my name, right? You said Jeff. That's.
I did say Jeff, but I think it's polite if you introduce yourself.
I'm Jeff.
And, okay. Thank you.
The last time I tried to describe what this podcast was all about, you said it was unusable. So now I'm a little worried.
What did you describe it as? Oh, was that when you were describing taking your shirt off? Yeah. No, you've brought it back to being unusable.
No, no, not. It's gonna be a lot of us talking narcissistically.
Yep. All right, I'm not interested so far. I'm a stranger who doesn't know us on the internet, and I'm checking the podcast out for the first time, and I hate it.
Yeah, gotcha.
I don't know these people. Yep. I don't care about them. Why should I listen?
Mm-hmm.
Sell it to me. Yeah. Go big.
Oof.
Well, yeah. I mean, people are gonna want to know. Like, this is our chance. This is. Have you ever written an essay? I know you have an associate's degree. At least. I know you've written essays. I've helped you write essays.
Yeah. Have I ever written a good essay? No.
What your intro needs to grab people. It needs to pull them in and needs to make them want to read the essay. Mm. What I mean, we want people to listen to this.
Okay. Okay.
I want people to listen to this. Maybe I'm way more narcissistic than you are. Probably without a doubt, I'm way more narcissistic than you are. I definitely want people to
listen
to this.
If people do listen to this, I don't want them to take away that I am not a narcissist.
Okay. All right.
I am.
That's a good lesson for them to have.
Yeah. So you're right. Mission statement should open the podcast. You're right.
So I'll give a little overview.
Okay? Yeah.
We came up with some segments.
Wait, and start.
No. Everything since I started is going in. Oh, it's going to be great. Makes me look real together.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I very managerially, I pushed that off on you. You know, I said, why don't you introduce this? And then you said, we haven't done it yet. And I said, well.
A good leader delegates. And I think
that's right.
Did. I mean.
He leads from the back.
Right. If, you know.
I really got to see the whole playing field.
Do you think the U.S. would be as successful as it was if they sent the president on the front lines? No, we did. How many presidents do we have so far? I want to say almost 50.
I mean, this is probably going to shoot us in the foot, but I'm going to go ahead and say, I don't really want to talk about politics on this podcast.
And we shouldn't have decided our first segment was going to be about Kyle.
Well, we're going to talk down about Kyle.
Yeah.
And his obsession with politics.
Okay. Yeah. It's
of course.
Too hot button. My idea of sending the president into battle on the front lines. Too hot button.
Here's the thing. It feels like, I don't know, it felt like you were going to attack the president. And just, you know, he's my president. And we're getting off on a tangent here about politics, right, which I expressly did not want to talk about.
Listen, my terrible joke about presidents fighting was gonna be over, but you're the one. You push this on me. You're forcing me to talk about politics. Okay,
Jeff, don't worry about it. I'm gonna cut all this.
Listen, people don't know how long ago we recorded this. I mean, I could say, do you think Hillary is gonna win against that old white guy in the primaries, Howard Dean? And then they throw everybody off. They have no idea.
Was throwing me off. Isn't Howard Dean the guy that freezes sausages and then sells them to you?
It's Jimmy Dean, his brother.
How? Yeah, they're related.
I want to say for our purposes, yes.
So the sausage guy was gonna hop into politics?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they spent so much money on lobbying, they thought, why not just get our people in there?
Oh. I mean, I guess that makes sense. I'd vote for a sausage guy.
Yeah. Do you think I would, only if he wears that sun costume? You ever see those commercials?
I didn't know that there's a costume. This is politics is a whole new. You should vote. You should vote. It sounds like you know way
so
more.
Informed.
It sounds like you're so informed. Yeah. Much more informed than I am.
I want to say that the guy in that sun costume in the commercials is not the owner, not Jimmy Dean, but
okay. Well, I think maybe you should call him Mr. James Dean.
James Dean.
Because right. I don't know how close you are with
him. His great-grandfather, James Dean. He didn't have any causes, so he did not run for office. He was a rebel.
I don't get this.
James Dean was an actor. Like,
oh yeah, well, oh yeah, rebel without a cause. No, right. I'm on. Yeah, causes. Sorry, I'm not off on my fucking golden age like cinematography.
Yeah, that's why most of my jokes I mumble through, so I get polite laughs from people who didn't hear me, and like one or two people that heard me will laugh because they're confused, and then I'll get one, maybe three, up to three, depending on how large your group is, of people that get my references. Well, yeah.
What about me makes you think I would remember off the top of my head that James Dean is a person who was in
John,
movies?
Don't make me make a fat joke. You got Jimmy Dean immediately because it's breakfast sausages.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I'm a fat dude. Of course I would get Jimmy Dean immediately. I love sausages. Are you kidding me?
Any.
Do I watch old movies? Not really.
Any teenager that cuts themselves has a Jimmy Dean wallpaper on their phone. You know, really? James Dean. You know.
Okay, yeah. That makes more. I was gonna be like, wow. Sausages are like the food of troubled teens.
Yeah, they are. Oh, yeah.
I did not know that about teens who cut themselves. They're really into Jimmy Dean sausages.
I mean, you know, they're the same jackasses that have like Marilyn Monroe posters and quotes and stuff.
Yeah. Same era. I mean, I don't know that you need to categorize them all as jackasses. that felt like an attack.
Yeah, no, I definitely want this podcast to have a position, and I want it to alienate people, and I want there to be a blind rage.
All right, I can tell that this is going to be very contentious from the start. I think we should have a welcoming atmosphere.
You got it. Yeah. Well,
for example.
Okay, go ahead.
For example, mm-hmm. Hello and welcome to the Heads Up Podcast. My name is Sean, and I am a co-host, and my co-host, he's my only co-host.
Yeah, it's me, it's Jeff. I'm a co-host. But
yeah,
I'm
you would
the
be
other
the other
yeah,
co-host,
yeah.
But not my other co-host. Can we be bi-hosts? That sounds confusing.
you did ask me to take my shirt off earlier, so.
No, fresh start, what are you doing? So heads up, I mean, mm-hmm. I guess this is probably, I mean, I guess I'd call it a passion project. I don't, well, here's the thing, I'm not making money from it, so I need a reason to do
right,
it.
Right.
And I, you know, I guess it's a little way to dip our toes mm-hmm. in the podcasting waters. Mm-hmm.
I just want to get comfortable talking while I'm being recorded, you know, that's.
Okay. Yeah.
That's why I'm doing it.
Are you often recorded other than when you deliberately sit down and make it happen?
Sean, you said you didn't want to make this political, but the government always recorded.
Okay, all right. Yeah, no, I don't. But, well, in that case, everything you say is practice, though.
That's
if you're worried about the NSA,
that's
if you're worried
true.
About... That's let's mm-hmm. yeah, let's set some guy. I don't want to talk about pedophilia. I don't want to talk mm-hmm. about mm-hmm. Molestings or rape.
Those are good subjects to avoid. Sure.
Like to avoid all of those things. Gotcha. Anything related to that ultra violence, unless it's
sure.
Comedical.
Sure. I can't be certain any of my jokes will land, so I really got to be careful.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I'm not getting raked over the coals because of something you said.
Oh, that's why you wanted us to introduce ourselves with our names.
Yeah.
Start.
Yeah. Let's just really
associating,
really clear
associating
it up here.
Blame immediately.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, I'm in this with you, but I really want to disassociate myself from any of the terrible things mm-hmm. either of us might say. I mean, if I say anything terrible, it's probably your fault.
Yeah, I'm the kind of person to goat other people into saying things. Absolutely. I can carry that.
I think I come across a lot as just an observer when things happen.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get in there. I want to get in the mud.
Yeah. Hey, really?
Let's sling some mud.
Yeah, you know, I want to be the one making someone uncomfortable with my emotions, okay? I'm sick of the other way around.
Okay? Yeah.
I really want to get in the game.
Yeah. So, I think when we were kicking ideas around, one of the ideas we had that seemed okay, and it might turn out terrible and we'll just scrap this whole idea and make a different podcast that's much better. That's how you learn to do things. You fail doing them the first few times. Was talking about just like topics.
Mhm. Mhm.
And sort of how we connect to them and to other people doing them. So I think our first one, I don't know, did you want to talk about board games this time? Or
I mean, let's do it. I have a terrible memory for specifics in them, but I do know the type of asshole I am playing board games and can talk
yeah.
about that at length.
As a vocal warm-up, mm-hmm. and I really don't know that any of this is going to make it into the show, but we're going to talk about... We're just going to check in on one of our friends on Facebook.
Hey, at the end of this, we'll redo the intro several hundred times, and then we'll just cut and paste the best one to open every show after our amazing intros that we have currently.
Oh, yeah.
Segment about our friend Kyle. You know.
I think he's gonna love being dragged into the limelight.
Love it.
I think
he's going to love it.
He wants us to talk about him.
It's clear. It's clear he wants us to talk about him.
So how are we gonna do our check-ins with Kyle?
The best way to check in on Kyle is to his favorite social media spots. That's the Facebook.com and Twitter.
The internet gave us a whole world of exciting new possibilities. So I guess this is a story of how it changed our lives. Maybe it will yours too.
Wow.
That was our amazing jingle. That was so good.
Shit.
I think everybody's pumped to hear about Kyle now.
I mean, that's perfectly went over what this segment's all about. So with this segment, we are going to be looking at some of Kyle's most recent Facebook posts and then ending it with a Twitter quote from Kyle, right? Is that how we...
Yeah, I say we don't want to go too deep into his Facebook. There's some dark stuff down there.
Dark.
And I think we... I'm sorry, was that like your little sting? Was that dark?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, all right, well... Isolate it, pull it out. Maybe we can find a use for it.
I've just decided I want to be your hype man during this, so I'm just going to be reiterating things that you've said and saying things like that. So,
okay. Yeah. What's the most recent thing Kyle posted about?
On Facebook, the last one, he has not been very active today, but yesterday he just wrote, "Gary Johnson is not prepared." And then he linked to a video from Twitter.com about some morning show on Twitter where Gary Johnson... apparently talks about something and would not sound very prepared.
Yeah, he didn't know what it was, and it was a thing that he needed to know.
He just didn't know. Like,
here's the thing. I didn't watch the video. Gary Johnson, for those who don't know, is not like a placeholder like John Doe, even though it sounds like a fake person's name. Gary Johnson is the Libertarian candidate?
He is a Libertarian candidate. And
for the President of the United States of America? I don't know if you've heard, but we replace the president every few years.
Wow.
Is it 3 years? Is it 4 years? I don't... It's four, right?
I think it's... You know, I'm pretty sure you can do it whenever you want, but I think tradition, it's... I think they try every 4 years. I think they try it.
Okay.
They give it a shot. Does it work?
You know, I want to contest you, but I think you're right. I think Congress can just go right ahead and pull out a new president they want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not just presidents. Also, psychopaths with guns. It happens all the time.
Hmm.
Like I said, I don't know how many presidents we've had, but I remember more than one.
It's in the 40s. I know. It's in the 40s.
Well, you have to be at least like 35 to run for president. So they're definitely in their 40s.
No, I mean, how many presidents we've had. I know what you're doing here.
You're being glib.
So, this was not a well-liked post, I don't think.
No.
But, you know, in Kyle's defense, Facebook is the place to go for all of your political needs.
I mean,
to have all of your political views confirmed.
That's right. It's your platform. And if you want to waste your time either posting things to have other people just agree with you and wonder why everyone else is such an idiot, or to have people just immediately attack you for those views on there with no sense of well-being because they're alone with their phone or computer and are not thinking that it's a regular conversation with a person. They just attack. This is the place. And Kyle, to his credit, is using it to its exact purpose, which is amazing.
He is. And here's the thing. I think we're going to have to take some notes from Kyle, which is why we're going to devote probably an entire 5 to 10 minutes segment, like 5 to 10 minute segment on.
Yeah.
He's got, I mean, look at this cross-platform promotional stuff he's doing.
Yep.
He's on Facebook. He's linking to Twitter.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
It's, I don't know. It's good stuff. We're going to have to learn from
that. He could have just retweeted that, but no. He went right to the behemoth that is Facebook.
So here's the thing. Based on just this post, little of the comments, of the four major candidates.
Right. We're calling Jill Stein a major candidate, right? Is that?
I mean, why not, right? Like, the Green Party kind of...
What is Vermin Supreme? Let's say it's Vermin Supreme instead of Jill Stein.
No, that's not...
You're right.
Is he Green Party? No, I don't think he's Green
Liberal
Party.
He's the Libertarian Party still, so... I guess.
Really? And Gary Johnson beat him out with
insane.
Well, based just yes. Okay, so the major political candidates for president would be Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, Gary Johnson, Jill Stein.
Sure. Got it. Nailed it. In memory. So we
based just on this post.
We can assume that Kyle either is for Trump, for Clinton, for Jill Stein, or is looking out for Gary Johnson. And wants to help him get more prepared to win this thing.
This was my question. I'm glad you're. If this was chess, you're like 20 steps ahead of me. I was gonna ask who, just based on this post, who you think Kyle's gonna vote for.
Mm.
And really, I mean, we can only. It only looks like he's not gonna vote for Johnson.
I mean, yeah, but can anybody be 100% prepared?
Right. Because on the other hand, Kyle, it doesn't look like he's criticizing it.
Yeah, there's no punctuation to assume, you know, anger or. Apathy or excitement.
There's actually no punctuation at all. He should have put a period.
I'm just glad he capitalized Gary Johnson's first and last name.
Are you big on capital letters?
Well, yeah, I grew up on Sesame Street, so sue me. You know what I mean?
okay.
These millennials here, they don't capitalize anything unless they're angry. Yeah. Then everything's capitalized.
Yeah. The specter of Big Bird looms over your shoulder when you're typing.
Yeah, it's insane. It's creepy. That's why I didn't like to write papers in college. Or high school, or middle school.
Yeah, you had Elmo flashbacks.
Elmo, Elmo was around, when I was in high school, I think. Pretty sure.
What? How? You didn't see Elmo as a kid on Sesame Street?
I want to say if he was there when I was the appropriate age for Sesame Street, I do not remember him. I remember Grover.
Okay.
I remember the Big Bird.
Yeah.
I remember his imaginary friend, Snuffleupagus. I remember there was a grouch in a trash can. There was an actual guy that ran the apartment building, I think. A woman that lived there.
What was his name?
I don't know. Gordon? No, Gordon was the guy running the grocery store. I don't know. Those are the ones I remember. I remember the little alien guys, but I don't remember Elmo. I think he might have been a late addition.
Who are the little alien guys?
The ones that they are always like, yep.
Well, those are Muppets. I don't know. Were they on Sesame Street as like recurring?
I think they had a couple of segments on there. All I'm saying is I remember them more on Sesame Street than I remember Elmo growing up. When I was older, when I wasn't the target audience for Sesame Street, I remember Elmo showing up. Like all of a sudden, like kids needed to see someone on there that was all like, "I need hugs and love." You know, I don't know. I don't know.
So we're pretty far afield, and I'm gonna wrap us back around with just
right back to Gary Johnson,
question.
Back to Kyle.
You cannot Like, I don't know that we should even be saying his first name.
Yeah, you got it.
But you definitely are going to have to cut that now.
I will. I will. I'm going to.
Has Gary Johnson been on Sesame Street? And how would Gary Johnson handle Sesame Street?
I don't think he's prepared.
There are grouches living on the streets.
Yeah.
Living on the Sesame Street.
Yeah, why is there a homeless...
What's his plan? What's his plan to get these puppets?
Yeah.
These Muppets, even, I guess. I don't... They're just puppets to me. I don't understand Muppets. We'll get on that later.
Okay, all right. Yeah. I have a theory, but we'll talk about it later.
What's his plan? We'll do a whole episode on him. What's his plan to get these... Because guess what? Guess, you know, Big Bird lives, like, between two buildings. No one ever makes a big point about that, but he has a nest...
Yeah, it's basically...
But Big Bird is, like, 8 feet tall and 12 feet wide. Like, yeah. He's homeless.
Yeah, he's a sentient being. He talks.
Yeah.
He's just stopping kids in the street and talking to them.
I don't know that his house has a roof.
No, it's definitely...
I would classify him as homeless as well.
It's either in a parking lot or it's an empty lot between buildings. It's
not a parking lot. What Sesame Street has never depicted... Puppets living in parking lots.
Just trash cans. How would they do that? Lots.
Yeah. Well, the trash can thing got a whole movie. Like, it's a whole trash world down there, and they're very happy in the trash.
What we're saying is he's homeless. Maybe does he enjoy living outside and just in the nest like any other bird?
I mean, I guess, but like...
Are you imprinting your values onto this bird?
Well, I think when I was young, the bird imprinted its values on me. That's how Sesame Street works.
And yet you live.
And by the way,
yeah, sure.
Snuffleupagus is not imaginary.
What are your facts on that?
My facts are that he was proposed as an imaginary friend.
Sure.
So that Big Bird could connect with kids by having an imaginary friend himself. But then the people who made Sesame Street got worried that this would be a route for kids to have. I didn't want to talk about pedophiles on the show. But it was a route for, like, you know, if a pedophile was doing things to a kid and he was saying, this is our special secret, I'm your secret friend, don't tell anybody.
Ooh, yeah.
Right, they didn't want Big Bird to be an example of, here's, don't tell anybody. So they revealed Snuffleupagus was just, like, hiding the whole time.
Are you insinuating that Snuffleupagus was molesting Big Bird?
I believe I'm stating it outright.
Okay. All right. And you think that's why he can't integrate into society properly and he's living out in an empty lot?
Here's what I think Big Bird and the Grouch represent. I think, you know what? Never mind. We can't talk about this now because I brought up pedophiles. That whole thing has to be cut.
All right. And
let's get back to Gary Johnson.
And start. So Kyle may or may not be voting for Gary Johnson based on this Facebook post.
Right. It's hard to tell. He could just be defending him, just be like, he's not prepared right now.
Yeah.
But maybe he's prepared later.
Exactly. He is preparing. He's not afraid.
Yeah.
He's not afraid to show that he's doesn't know everything.
He's asking the tough questions, like, what are the things I should know as president?
Yeah. Do you think this is important for me to know? What should I learn about this? You know what? I hate how politicians already have their ideas and their views on everything just laid out, and they can tell you what it is, and you have to agree with them or not. Gary Johnson is like,
yeah.
Tell me about it. Is this, should I like this? Should this be a thing? I like that he's not prepared.
Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton... And maybe Jill Stein.
Possibly.
I don't know.
Who knows?
They all go in with an agenda.
Mm.
Because they already know about the things they're supposed to as president. Gary Johnson's got no idea.
None. Does
he's keeping... It's called an open mind.
That's right. All right, next post.
I don't know. I don't even want to talk about Kyle's Facebook thing anymore. We've spent way too much time on
one
it.
One post. Killed it. Killed it. Amazing
I
post.
Mean, the next one down's not that good. No one wants to hear about that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the one after that is just... another link to stuff about guns, which is a highly politicized issue that I don't want
to. And we won't tell you what side of the gun story that Kyle is on.
He's pro, but I'm not going to tell you pro what. Is it pro gun? Is he pro anti gun? I don't know. He's pro something, though.
Yeah.
I feel like if we're going to talk about Kyle without his permission, we should make him seem like really, like, I guess, proactive.
Yeah.
You know, he's really about stuff.
Yeah.
We want to elevate Kyle.
Yeah. Really bring him to that next level.
All right. I've closed Facebook. I don't want to look at it anymore. I'm done with it.
It's gone forever.
It's gone forever.
So then we look through his tweets now.
Okay. He's complaining about how Twitter looks on an iPad, which is, wow.
Humble brag.
Talk about being entitled. Okay, so on Twitter, Kyle complained about how Twitter looks on the iPad.
Yeah.
Which, by it, that's a legitimate complaint.
Sure, sure.
You know, listen, if it doesn't look good.
What better place to say that than Twitter? They might see that. They might they might take his feedback.
Then he talks about tomatoes. Someone liked that tweet. Why can't I see who?
Someone retweeted it. Let's hit the more. Let's see.
You won't tell me who. I have to know who retweeted this.
How does Twitter work? Oh no, I accidentally liked it again. I don't even like tomatoes. I don't like tomatoes. I can't.
That's the thing.
I can't.
Tomatoes are terrible.
I can report it or block it.
I feel like I'm probably done with Kyle altogether at this point. We've spent so much time on him.
How do we end a segment about Kyle?
You know, I was just going to do a little wrap-up. Okay. You know, we trashed him for liking tomatoes because we don't like them. We ridiculed him for being entitled.
How dare he have his own opinions about food.
Yeah, and then we made fun of him for having a political stance.
Mm.
But kind of, that one I feel like was fair because it's not clear. I mean, he could have just said, Gary Johnson is not prepared, period. This is bad, period.
Yeah.
Right? Like.
Well, yeah, specificity, yeah. That's.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely that word you
don't,
said.
Don't leave us out in the muck, you know?
Don't leave us out there. Okay, so Kyle is done. Finished. Where do we go from here? What is my life like without Kyle? It's nothing. Do you like to talk about candy? Would you like to talk about board games?
I think we talk about let's talk about board games.
What I would play that I have a very clear memory of.
Yeah.
Something that helped develop me as a person, I guess I'll narrow it on. I guess not develop me as a person. I'll explain more after the story. Okay. But when I was a kid, there was a family that lived next door, and there was a boy and two girls. I would play the two girls. One was 1 year older than me. Her sister was a year younger than me. So we were right in that age range growing up. And I would go hang out in their basement, and we would play two games: Girl Talk and Mall Madness.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I was a frequent participant.
Some serious games there.
So I am remembering playing the games with them. Right. I don't remember the specifics of either game. I know Girl Talk, you'd get phone calls,
yeah,
like from cute boys, and you'd like try to figure out what boy was into you. I think I don't remember. I don't remember clearly, but there was like a little thing, and then they had like a chart where if the boy says this, it means
There should have been something like that for boys, because I had no idea if a girl was into me or anything. I think maybe that would help. I'm sure it ruined a lot of girls, that game. But
oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, I mean, the stuff that it was saying was relevant. Oh, man. I don't remember specifics, but I remember being like, this is crazy. Which is probably why I liked the game, because it was
Speaking of copyright stuff, I should just play some of those underneath as you're talking about.
I mean, if you can find a recording, let's just take a sample right here.
Kelly would never kiss and tell.
My first kiss? Sure, I'll talk about it.
So that was hopefully maybe a clip. If not, well. Yeah,
not that important.
Yeah, we're amateurs. I don't really care if we're not that good at it at first. But so we do that. Mall Madness. You never played Mall Madness?
I've never played Mall Madness. I don't know that at all. Girl Talk. I don't remember if I played, but I do remember that game specifically and what it was about.
So, Mall Madness, from what I remember, and I probably am remembering it incorrectly, you get an amount of money at the start of the game, and then I think the board is you moving around a mall.
Yeah.
And you go from store to store, and in each store there's certain things you can buy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you can't visit every store. I think like you move a little thing around, you roll a dice or something like that. So you can only stop at some stores. And I think you're trying to leave the mall having spent all your money and gotten the best stuff.
That is madness.
come on. And, I'm going to have to find like an audio clip of an audience groaning to put in after you do shit like that, you son of a bitch.
Just let me know you want it in there. Put it in.
Yeah, I think. I'm probably remembering that incorrectly, and I bet I could just look it up in Google.
We could read the Wikipedia entry, but you know what?
This
podcast is not about informing people.
So, playing. I mean, being a frequent participant in Girl Talk and Mall Madness did not necessarily endear me to the other males of the group.
Mm. They were not,
as we were growing up.
They were not playing Girl Talk or Mall Madness.
No. The next door neighbors, their brother, he did not look highly upon my participation.
Mm.
My brother certainly didn't. The other neighborhood kids, I just think they kind of thought it was weird.
No, you weren't doing things with your brother and boy neighbors.
I mean, like we'd hang out. My brother and his friend, the next door neighbor, they were big into sports. They were pretty traditional boys, I think. They were big on bike rides. They wanted to do man stuff. Mm-hmm. They were just like sport dudes into doing sports and stuff. A little bit. I mean, they had their period of a little nerdy things like Magic the Gathering. Mm-hmm. They both dipped their toes into it. They were much more normal.
Yeah,
kids.
I'd rather play Girl Talk or Mall Madness than talk about sports with a guy of any age.
Or play them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the skill gap between me and them was pretty big, and I was not at the top. So I think at an early age, I kind of got that experience of being the other, of being the one who's on the outside, because no one looked down on the two girls for playing.
Right.
That's like the game is geared towards them. Like, they should have been playing those games.
Right.
But I didn't see anything wrong with participating, because to me, it was just like, this is a board game. I'm having fun with two other kids I know.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Exactly. I don't know. I feel like when I was like really young at recess, I was doing a lot of like hopscotch and like jump rope with girls on the blacktop instead of running around the recess thing. Not that I was good at jump roping or hopscotch, but I think that, I don't know what that was, where I was like, nah, I don't want to run around like an animal. Yeah.
I don't know if it was my personality as relates to those things, like competition, like because I'm naturally now not very competitive.
Yeah.
I don't know if my interactions with board games in this fashion, like I prefer, or I saw that this, like, oh, you could just like hang out with people you know and talk to them instead of, you know, kind of getting dunked on and being told that you're not as good as the other person.
Yeah, you don't get picked last for board games.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Man, that is a great way to put it, actually.
You pick a color and then you start.
So you never really played board games as a kid, or if you do, you don't remember them.
Right, yeah. I mean, I didn't really get big into the board games until your house.
Until we started playing them together.
Yeah, I must have played Life and Monopoly. And
let's, I feel like any discussion of board games, we got to talk about Monopoly. Monopoly is not a board game. Monopoly is a dark ritual you perform with friends and family who you want to no longer be your friends and family.
It's a war of attrition.
It's a terrible game. It's the worst game. Yeah. It's all about losers.
Yes.
No one wins, because the winner is always like, oh, the guy was a jerk. Yeah. Because to play the game, you have to be a jerk.
By the time I realized I was never going to win at Monopoly, I would, usually what I do is I pick somebody, whether they want to or not, and then I align myself with them to try to help them win. And then if it seems like they're not going to win, I betray them to the person that is definitely going to win to make the game end sooner.
So this is a perfect segue into us playing board games together as teens.
Yeah.
Because that is pretty much what I did for every Risk game we
I'm
ever
pretty
played.
Sure that's where I learned it.
It may have been. I don't know.
I'm watching you.
I feel like we may have both just ended up there naturally.
Yeah.
I don't think you learned. I think I did do it to the exclusion of all else. I would never even try from square one.
Oh, man. I always have so much hope in the first 10 minutes of a board game.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's misguided.
And briefly, just, I mean, everybody knows what Monopoly is, but in case people don't know, you become a slumlord. Yeah. Monopoly should be called Slumlord.
Yeah. You force your friends to pay you and to sell their belongings to pay you.
Yeah. It's a terrible nightmare game. Don't ever play it. If anyone walks in your house and says, let's play it, slap it out of their hands, stomp the pieces into the ground, and then make them go home.
Yeah.
Just don't ever play it. Well, fast forward away from my childhood to high school when we were playing board games.
Sure.
We would mostly play Risk.
Risk was a big, I mean, we started with Monopoly until we couldn't stand it anymore, and then moved on to Risk until we couldn't stand it anymore.
When we couldn't stand Risk anymore, we adapted it, but we'll get into that in a minute. So just, again, Risk, everyone should probably be familiar with it, but in case they're not, Risk is a game of world domination, I think they call it. But you amass troops, and then you try to take over other people's territories, and the more territories you have, the more armies you have, but the more space you have to defend. So you have to balance, you know, offense and defense. It's actually kind of a simple game, but pretty clever for what it does.
Yeah, you definitely have to have a plan as well, though.
Yeah, this is where I fail out of every game system.
Yeah.
You have to have a plan. It's like, I'm playing to have fun.
I didn't have the patience to wait to amass enough troops to actually do what I was supposed to do, and that hurt me immediately for several games until I decided to just wait it out, create alliances, and then break them.
It was very much for me a game about interpersonal relationships.
Yeah.
It was about making alliances and talking people into doing things that you wanted and talking people out of doing things you didn't want them to do.
Like it was in their best interest, but it clearly wasn't.
Right. Well, sometimes it's murky, you know, like maybe it's better if they try to attack this other person to try to whittle down their forces.
Yeah. Wouldn't you rather attack this person right now? Don't you think they're being a little...
Yeah, and then, like, everyone's turn would have, like, a 20-minute discussion about who it would best for that person to attack. If you were paying attention, you could map out everybody's tactics, like what everyone wanted to do and where they were planning to go by what they were trying to influence other people to do. So I mean, I think that was kind of informative in my teen years.
Pleading with somebody not to betray you.
Yep, that was a big part. Yeah, like two other people would be like, you know what you should do is you should break your alliance with Jeff, and then you could take all of Europe for yourself. You'd be like, well, no, listen, like, if you don't attack me, I'll help you out next turn, you know? I'll move some troops away from our shared border. It was just so good. I think after a while, we adapted the rules a little bit. We changed troop movement.
The retreating isn't an official rule, right?
I don't think so, no. We instituted a rule where you could, instead of defending that territory, you could just take all of your troops and retreat to an adjacent territory that you controlled. And we did this. Well, we did it a lot, but we implemented the rule specifically to further enable the social aspect of the game, where we could actually, like, if you and I were in an alliance, I would be like, just attack me in Alaska, I'll retreat. That gives you control over all of North America, and now you get bonus troops for controlling the whole continent. And it was, I mean, I think that was reinforcing for me some of the interpersonal relationship stuff. Like, here's how you negotiate. Here's how you share with others, which no teenager should need to learn, but it's good to reinforce, especially for someone who, like me, my whole life has struggled with maintaining interpersonal relationships. I'm just bad at it.
I mean, if I'm not physically close to somebody, I can go over a year and be like, oops.
Yeah, right.
That was a friendship.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, you wake up and it's like, oh, yeah, the last time I talked to them was a year and a half ago.
Time I talked to them was high school. Oh, shit.
And that's why I think, playing Risk was good because it gave all of our friends a reason to, like, hang out together instead of just school, which was a nightmare. After the social aspect, we were getting bored with Risk just by itself. So do you remember what we did next and what
Bizarro
we called it?
Risk.
So I owned two Risk boards, and old Risk boards where the icons were, like, Roman numerals.
Yeah, which still confused me.
Another aspect of the game. You had to learn Roman numerals to understand it. Yeah. But So what we would do for Bizarro Risk, you tell me what you remember of Bizarro, because Bizarro Risk is still very near and dear to my
heart. The rules are cloudy to me, as they were.
But what physically, what would we do?
So you take both boards, and you have to conquer each territory on each board, but when you had conquer the same territory in each board, you could teleport pieces between those boards. That was complicated.
So the other thing, we had some, like, lore. There was some lore.
You had to build a story around it.
And this is like deeply connected to the thing I most care about, which is narratives, telling a story, which is why I loved Bizarro Risk so much. But there was the regular world that you were trying to conquer, but then you also had the Bizarro world you were trying to conquer. There was other lore. I don't remember all of it. The other thing was, when the boards were next to each other, if I was in control of Alaska, when I moved from Alaska to Russia, I was moving from normal Alaska to Bizarro Russia.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So if I wanted to go all the way across the map, I would actually have to span both worlds. But if I...
I could last longer in regular Risk. Bizarro Risk kind of took me out early.
Bizarro Risk got pretty crazy.
I barely understood regular Risk.
Well, here's the thing. We had other rules for Bizarro Risk that I do not remember. Yeah. There was a ton of stuff, because I think we started doing storytelling stuff with it, and then we were using storytelling stuff to implement new rules. Yeah, it got complicated. And that was kind of the game of my teenage years. We didn't really play too many other board games that I remember.
Yeah, occasionally we'd hit Life.
So when I'm playing board games, you know what I like to do?
What do you like to do?
I like to eat candy.
Yeah, I like to bring candy when I'm playing games. Do you recommend this candy that you're going to make me eat?
Well, let's talk about it first. So what this segment, The Secret to Great Radio, is segments. Everybody knows that. And I think so far we've nailed it. We've talked about a friend that no one else is going to listen to this probably. And then we talked about board games that no one else has played. Mm-hmm. And we vaguely connected it to how we feel and grew up. Not very well, but, you know, now let's talk about a candy that we both eat. So what we're going to do is every week, we're going to pick, or every other week, whenever we record, we're going to pick a candy at the end of each episode. And then in the interim between episodes, we're going to eat that candy, or I'm going to eat the candy, and then I'm going to watch Jeff eat it live right now on this video call.
It's fancy, so it's a lot of packaging.
He's opening the packaging. He's to the foil. He's getting to the foil, folks. So this is lint, right? This is lint, 85% cocoa?
Yes, this is, yep. Got
85% cocoa chocolate bar.
It smell.
Dark chocolate. Yeah, how does it smell? It
smells like dark chocolate.
So it's got, how would you describe that as a rich smell?
It's rich. It doesn't smell as bitter as I bet it tastes.
Yeah, that's probably a good call.
Do you think the whole square or shit?
Do whatever you want.
Yeah, it's bitter as fuck.
So I thought this was kind of bitter. I think it's also kind of like a dry chocolate after, like, when you eat it. What it reminded me the most of, what I would compare it to, is an IPA. Drinking an IPA, it's got kind of, I know you don't drink.
Yeah, I've never had an IPA.
Don't know what I'm talking about. Right. But people out there, it's got kind of this dry, I can tell that you don't like it, yeah.
How can you tell?
Because of the terrible faces you're making.
So good.
And that strain in your voice.
So good.
Fucking idiot.
It's
just chocolate. How do you? What is?
That goes down smooth.
I see. I really liked it. Is the thing. I enjoyed it. I. So what I used to do is I would get a dark chocolate bar, and then I'd have a little glass of whiskey, sit outside, and read my book. In the summer, very enjoyable.
Three things I do not enjoy.
Sometimes, I think once I smoked a cigar when I was trying to get into cigars. Mm-hmm. It wasn't good. I'm not into cigars, really.
Yes. Yes.
In case my health insurance is asking.
Here's the thing. I love candy. I think what I like about candy is its sweetness.
Okay, that's fair. No, I think that's fair. Yeah, you prefer the sweet flavor. See, I kind of like the bitterness mixed with the chocolate flavor.
Yeah.
I prefer dark chocolate.
I like some dark chocolates. I some that aren't classy enough to put the percentage on there.
Hershey's. You might.
I'll eat a Hershey's dark chocolate and I will thoroughly enjoy that.
Do you prefer dark chocolate over milk chocolate?
Hell no.
You prefer milk chocolate?
Yes. Yeah.
Do you prefer white chocolate over milk chocolate?
No, but I will go on kicks and I'll eat the shit out of some white chocolate.
I hate white chocolate. I cannot stand it.
It's not actually chocolate. There's no chocolate in it, right? It's
right.
Do you want the rest of this?
What? Well, what, are you going to mail it to me?
I'll throw it out this goddamn window.
Make Holly eat it.
I think she likes dark chocolate, but holy shit.
What do you think that chocolate would go good with?
A dirty diaper?
That's not that bad. What's the matter with you? No, it's no baking chocolate.
Yeah, I made you eat baking chocolate once. I didn't realize. I was going to bake with it. I thought, oh, baking. I don't want to get into it.
We'll have a whole thing on that, too. Yeah.
Yeah, it's that would go good with, I don't know, a steak?
I would kind of agree. Mm-hmm. I think it would go good, first of all, with anything salty. Mm-hmm. I think it would go good, especially after some sort of fried fish, actually.
Mm. Have you ever had a dark chocolate milkshake?
No.
That's pretty good. I like those. Don't like this.
Yeah, that's fair. That's good. This is very dark chocolate.
Yeah. Yeah, so you'd pair it with like a salty fish?
Yeah. Anything, I guess, that would pair with an IPA, I might pair it with. Yeah, I think some sort of fried fish that's got some good salt on it, that would be good with it. I mean, it's hard to go wrong with chocolate for me.
Yeah.
I think a nice tall glass of milk might do the trick.
With this? All right.
Yeah.
Anything to wash the taste out, right?
You're such a baby. It was good. I'm going to go ahead and give it my seal of approval. Mm. If you like dark, bitter chocolates, I think you'll like Lindt's 85%.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it definitely tastes like bitter, dark chocolate. So if you're into that.
Jeff, come on. Come on. This is, you got to disagree with me. That's good.
No, I'm saying if people like trash like this. It'd...
Would you recommend this? Would you recommend this?
Oh, chocolate? Hell no.
Why?
Because it tastes gross.
Okay.
No, I mean, if you're into the candy game, you want some candy, like you're going to, you know. Whatever people use candy for, I use it for, you know, meal replacements or boredom.
Yeah, morning pick
breakfast.
Me up. Or...
Yeah, it's definitely not a breakfast candy. I mean, you definitely have to start your day with this. Unless you know, some people drink coffee and other bitter, gross things. So maybe.
Yeah.
But I would not recommend this for anybody. I like the sweet candies. You know, I'll eat a sour candy. Bitter candy? Yeah, I'm not into it.
Okay. All right. So I guess fair is fair.
Yeah.
I mean, last week I picked...
Five thumbs down.
Last week I picked the candy. What would you like us to both eat for next time?
Oh, it's that's tough. I don't know how you feel about Twizzlers. Let's just eat Twizzlers.
Twizzlers. Yeah. So now my understanding is the Twizzlers have different flavors. You would like classic?
Yeah. the classic flavor, which nobody used to have to know, but now you have to know now because they have the pull and peel garbage and like other colors now. You know, the classic strawberry regular style Twizzler.
All right. Yeah, no, I'll get
we'll pair it with that.
Some Twizzlers.
I got a story about Kyle and Twizzlers. It'd be fun.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Let's keep it PG-13.
Oh, then I do not have a story about Kyle.
Gross. Absolutely gross.
That was yuck.
Yeah. Yuck City. Mm-hmm. I liked it.
It might grow on me. You know how like certain disgusting things, like you acquire a taste for them.
Yeah.
Did you like that immediately? Like,
well, that's the thing. I'm most into dark chocolate. Mm-hmm. I like that flavor of dark, you know, so I think in the past I've gotten dark chocolate. I have had that dark chocolate before, that specific. Yeah. I think I've had the 90% too, and I like that as well.
I dial it down about 30 or 40%.
Well, here's the thing: I don't usually get it because the Lindt chocolates are like $2.50, $3 a bar.
Yeah, that was a $3 candy bar right there. Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't I buy like a sack of candy for half that?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, good old American Hershey's candy.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of what it's competing with. Mm-hmm. Is I'll go to the store and I'll see like, hey, do you want 2 bags of Reese's peanut butter cups for $3, or do you want this one? I was like, no, I want the 3 bags, not one candy bar.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna need 3 bags. Yeah.
Gotta have them.
No, I mean, listen, maybe I'll try to eat that whole bar and see how I feel about it after. You know what I mean? I mean, I probably won't, but why
That's
not
fine.
Say that?
That's fine.
And you know,
like I said,
Lindt makes a fine chocolate. I've had other Lindt stuff and it's delicious.
All right. Well, Lindt's not paying us, so I mean, maybe don't kiss their ass.
That
so
reminds
hard.
Me. Today's episode is brought to you by Lindt.
No, it's not. No, it's
Lindt,
not.
Lindt
no,
Chocolatiers of Maine.
No.
Making Maine. Excellent chocolate since I think 2002 is when they were founded.
Really?
No.
I don't know. Are they from Maine?
No, I think they're.
You just fed me a bunch of lines of bullshit.
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
Because I'm in the middle of an ad roll. Okay.
First of all, you don't advertise people who don't pay you.
Also brought to you by Nike. Just do it.
Do not do it.
John.
Do not do it. They did not pay us. Do not do it. No.
John.
No. I also want to say that Nike and Lindt did not have anything to do with the content of our podcast. They didn't tell us to say any of these terrible things.
That's right. Lindt has no sway on this, but if you are looking for something to satisfy your sweet tooth, it's available at your local grocer. They also have fine select chocolate locations.
I think you have like a gentle form of oppositional like defiance disorder. You're not like a physical type guy, but when someone tells you don't do this, you're just like, okay, I'm just gonna gently do it a little bit quieter immediately after you told me to not do it.
Yeah, I mean that may be true. I didn't realize that was a disorder, but it is definitely something I am inclined to.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we just diagnosed successfully.
This is the last thing we're gonna do every week. We're gonna diagnose each other with mental disorders.
Just to really take a shit on people who actually have these diseases and are suffering.
Yeah, really just
we're just
gonna
play it off
really
as a vague insult or to explain our little idiosyncrasies to make ourselves feel better.
More important.
We're gonna make light of these things.
Well, yeah. Of course. Yeah, that's the best way to
nothing's
do
funnier
it.
Than explaining your a little OCD about how you keep your DVD collection or how you like your socks folded. It's hilarious to someone that has a crippling mental disorder about leaving the house. This episode was brought to you by mental health.
Have some mental health.
Mental
today.
Health. You know what always helps me when I'm a little bit of a stressful day, or a little bit of a mental health break is Lindt chocolates.
Boy, you know what I'm crazy for? Lindt chocolatiers of Maine.
You know who really goes crazy? Those chocolatiers down at Lindt.
So thank you everyone who did listen.
Yeah, spending that time.
We're sorry it's bad. It'll be better as we get better at it.
No promises. No promises.